right, I'm excited to jump into the Word of the Lord today and believing that God is going to speak to our hearts. If you are online, you still have time to share this live stream. Hit the share button. Let somebody know we're going into the Word of the Lord. And for the next few moments, we're going to just see our lives built and blessed by the Word of the Lord. Amen. Welcome to church. I know it's been a crazy long 10 weeks and we're all tired of our current arrangement, but I really believe that better days are ahead. I believe things are going to work and things are going to get better. My faith is telling me to look up and to believe and to anticipate. So whether you are in the house today or whether you are at your home today, I believe that God has a message for you. I want you to lean in today. I want you to tune out fear for a little while. I know there is a steady influx and a steady diet of fear and something else for you and I to be worried about. But today I want you to lock into the Word of God for the next little while. And I want to talk to you today from this subject, from house to house. From house to house. We have been the church at home the last few weeks as we have brought church to where you are. And we have learned, discovered, been reunited with the understanding that God wants to have residence in our houses. I think it's clear from the beginning of God's people meeting together that our meeting together was never to take the place of God being in the home. I studied again this week Numbers chapters 1, 2, 3, all through those chapters when they are getting the instructions. They're a nomadic people. They are a people that are on the move. And while they are on the move from place to place, they have instructions for how they are supposed to set up the camp. And they had very detailed instructions for how the tabernacle was to be established. There was nothing easy about the task of moving the population equivalent of a large city. Estimates say anywhere from 1 to 3 million people that would move at any one time. There's nothing easy about that. So whether they were moving 10 miles down the road or whether they were moving just a short distance, it was a massive undertaking. You have to imagine packing up all of your belongings and packing up all of the city people's commerce and their livestock, everything that it took for them to live their lives. And then they would arrive wherever it was, the next place that God led them to. And the first thing that they would establish, the first thing that they would do is make sure that the tabernacle, make sure that the church was set up. Make sure that that tent, that place that housed the glory of God, they made sure that it was established first. It was the tabernacle. It was the inner court, it was the outer court, it was the Ark of the Covenant, it was the laver of water, the table of showbread, it was the altar. All of those things were established. And then from the church, from the tabernacle, the different tribes, there were 12 of them, the different tribes would establish their neighborhood, if you will, their tribe of people that they did life with. They would establish those around the tabernacle. The point was that the tabernacle or that the church would be the center of their lives. The point was that the church was going to be their focus. It was going to be where they were going to put the best of their attention. And so they would establish their homes around the tabernacle, and every single house, their tent door, would face in the direction of the church. I think that's powerful. I think it's incredible. They would walk out of their tent door, walk out of their house, as it were, and the first thing they would see every morning was the house of God. The first thing that they would see was the place where His glory dwelt. Why? Because God wants our lives to be centered around His purpose and centered around His will. His house was to be important. You see, for those who center their lives around the church, for those who love the church. Do I have anybody in the room today that loves the church? Anybody online today, you love the church? Just type, yeah, I love the church. I know there's all different styles of churches, and there's all different energy levels of churches. We kind of have some rambunctious energy around here sometimes, and that's all right. There's all different kinds of ways of doing church, but for people who love the church, you want to center your life around faith activities, and you get excited about Sundays, and you get excited about small groups. I was in Home Depot just a couple of days ago, and passed a gentleman in the aisleway, and he stopped, and he was just looking at me. He's probably watching, because he said they watch every day, and he was masked up, and I could only see his eyes. I didn't recognize him, and we made that connection. He's a part of our church, and he said, when are we reopening? What's happening? And so we talked through that a little bit. I don't have to know a whole lot about him to know this. They love the church. When can we get back? When can we worship together again? Because when you love the church, you get excited about Sundays. That's why the last 10 weeks has been so jarring. It's been so unsettling, because we take one of the primary focuses of our life. We take one of the number one reasons that we get up every day, and you say, wait a minute, we no longer can do that for a little while. It is unsettling at best, but when you love the church and you center your life around faith activities, then you get excited about going to church. I want you to hear me today. God also wanted our homes to be full of His presence and purpose. It's not His will for there to be peace at the church and pain in your house. It's not God's will for there to be glory in the church and struggle in your house. I know that's reality. I know that's real life. I know we're processing relationships, and we're working through the challenges of life, but He wants us to have His presence in our houses. And if COVID-19, if this pandemic season has done anything, it has forced us to get our houses in order. But that's a process as well. And that process is painful oftentimes, but it's important nonetheless. I want you to look at this today. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 10. You can follow along right there online. It says, all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. The Bible said that all the people saw the pillar. It wasn't just a few spiritual ones. It wasn't just some team church or some staff or some leaders. It was everybody who could see the glory of God. That pillar represented, it was their evidence. It was their tangible evidence that God was powerful and alive and real. They could see the pillar of fire. They could see the cloud that was there that represented the glory of God, and everyone could see it. It wasn't just those standing in an outer court, but each man in his tent door, each man in his living room, each man sitting around the kitchen table, each man in a bedroom, each man, every single person could see the pillar of God's presence. See, I'm on a mission today. I'm on a mission today because whether you're in the building today or whether you are online, whether you're in this house or in your house, I want all the people to see God. I want everyone to experience the presence of the Lord. Listen, if you're in this room with me, you're way too quiet right now. I've done that for 10 weeks. Somebody ought to say, yes, I want to feel and see the presence of the Lord. I realize everything about how we do church has changed in the last 10 weeks. But hear me, nothing has changed about how God works. We may have made multiple adjustments, and we have. We may have had to learn so many different things. We jumped in the deep end. I was meeting with some of our AV team just over the last 10 days, and well, we could do this, and we could do this, and this would probably be easier, and this would probably be a safer segue into the live. And finally, you know, we just agreed. Why are we even thinking safe? Why are we even thinking about what would be easier? We've never thought about what would be the easiest. We just jumped in to the deep. We're live for the very first time ever in our history, and here we are today. You can hear us, I hope, and you can see us, and I feel like you're right here with us. I know everything about the way we do church has changed in 10 weeks, but God has not changed. He still heals. He still delivers. He still saves. He still sets people free. If you're watching today and you need to be set free, I speak the name of Jesus over your life. Chains have to break and fall today. Sickness has to run from you today. Be healed in Jesus' name. Does anybody believe that God is able? Yeah. Trying to stay calm. My first day being a televangelist, but I'm having a hard time. So we're going from house to house. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible said, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. Go to the temple and preach a message of life. Don't preach an angry message. Don't preach a frustrated message. Don't preach a mad message. Preach the message of life. Chapter 5 is very interesting context because the section of scripture that we're reading from and teaching from today, it's actually titled, The Apostles Meet Opposition. Yeah, the church, leadership of the church, the pastors of the church, team church of the church, they meet opposition. You see, the church is seeing some opposition. Seeing some opposition. There are states where this right now is not possible. I'm very thankful. I'm thankful that we can meet together today. I know pastors who have been arrested in the last 10 weeks. I know of churches, a church that I preached in many, many, many years ago in Mississippi, burned down, was burnt down last week. It's unbelievable the things that are happening. And yes, pastors and churches willingly went online to do our part But too many face the reality of not being able to meet in person for a very, very long time. And when you are faced with opposition, you have to decide what you are going to do. What you're going to do. It's not a matter of being reckless. It's not a matter of not paying attention to what will help us flatten curves and what will help us slow the spread and what will help us to just be wise in how we approach the gathering of people. We're going to do all of that. We believe in all of that. We stand with our local government, state government, national government to do our part to make all of that happen. And while there is no perfect time to reopen, some are saying it's way too soon, others are saying it's way too late. There are churches that have already decided they will not meet in 2020. They're not even sure about 2021 yet. Everyone is saying something different. And so while there is not a perfect time to reopen, this is the right time for us. Pentecost Sunday is the birth of the church, and you better look out, because May 31, Pentecost Sunday 2020, is the rebirth of the church. Covington, if you feel safe, you ought to get to the building. If you feel secure, you ought to get to the building. If you need to stay home, we're going to be in your home. But something is about to happen in this community, and I am here for it. You may be facing opposition in your life today. He said, give them this message of life. Give them a message of life. I'm so bothered by, I'm so concerned with, I'm so disappointed in the rhetoric that is online, the hate that is online. Hear me, folks. The devil is so busy using anything he can use to drive a wedge, to push people apart. Hear me, somebody, please hear me. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not someone who is denying the reality of this virus. I have family members that have dealt with this. We've had people in our church who have dealt with this. I know how real this is, but if you think everything that is happening in our world is only about a virus, please wake up, because there's so much more happening. The devil wants to hide you in a back room in your house, and you never see the light of day again. But I say, no way. I am going to be who God has called me to be. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Why? Because we are the church. Let me get off my soapbox. I'm not running for office. The twists and turns of the next 20 verses of chapter 5 tell us the apostles, the pastors, faithful people, they went to prison for preaching the message of life, no less. How could that be? How can it be that we're fighting for our right to preach now? I don't pretend to know all that's happening, but I know that spiritual things are afoot. And maybe you think the president caused the virus, or maybe you think he can cure the virus. I would encourage you to get out of either one of those camps. Put your faith in God and know that the devil is busier than ever, seeking whom he may devour. But look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. The others accepted his advice. I realize this verse is catching you already mid-story, well into the story. These apostles have stood before the Pharisees and Sadducees, the rulers of the day, and they have been charged with preaching the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gamaliel comes. He's a very respected man, but he says, you know what? I don't think these men deserve to die for this, so why don't you just tell them they can no longer preach and let them go, and then if they choose to break the law, then we'll deal with that. And so that's what the Bible is telling us. They accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. They beat them. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. That's what the Bible said. You'll never meet in your building again. You'll never have church again. You'll never be essential in society. You'll never matter in the community. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Did they shrink in fear? Did they give up? Did they throw in the towel? Acts 5 and 42 is the verse I need you to see today. And every day, not just days when they couldn't see the police watching, every day, not special holidays, days when they thought it was safe to come out of hiding, every single day in the temple and from house to house, both in the building, in your home, and you in your home, every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. What message? Jesus is the Messiah. Every day. In the temple, in the church, we're here. And from house to house, I can see you through that camera today. My online people, you ought to be filling up the chat right now saying, we are here. We are here. Somebody with thumbs up, somebody with hearts flying up the screen. We are here, whether in the temple or from house to house. We officially today become a church in many, many locations. We got churches all over Newton County and Rockdale County and Walton County. We got churches all over the place. Why? Because we're declaring that Jesus is Lord, both in this house and you declare it in your house. Come on, kids. We're going to church. Come on, husband. Come on, wife. Come on, mother-in-law. We are going to church. Somebody said 48% of people have not even signed into online church in the last 10 weeks. I don't know who they surveyed. They didn't call me. Maybe they called you. But I've been seeing our church signing in every week saying, hey, pastor, we're here. We're ready. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep growing. Let's keep building. Why? We want to be in the building. But if we have to do it from house to house, we'll do it wherever we are. Because this message must be proclaimed. This message has to be proclaimed. Somebody says, well, when I get back to church, that's when the reset button will happen. No. You ought to build an altar right where you are in your home. Because we're not going to give up the opportunity to meet. We may take it slow. We may be very, very careful. We'll be extra cautious. We're going to be prudent in how we do what we do. That's why our team church that's gathered today, we're going to serve you with excellence and do the very, very best we can, because we are passionate about your safety and passionate about doing this the best way possible. But some would say, I mean, you're online here, you're great, I'm worshiping, why don't I just stay here forever? No. Don't stay online forever. Come. Get in the house of God. Get in the presence of the Lord. And I can't tell you how everything is going to end up, because I'm learning just like you are. But I'm paying very close attention to the voices that I allow to get through. Because I know this: God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I reject, I rebuke, I girl by to the fear that says we will never come out of this. I reject it. May 31, we're open. Our doors are open. If you want to worship, you're welcome to worship. Starting a new series next Sunday. I am so excited. We're going to invest in your future. Not going to be all about pandemics and viruses and what's in the news. We want to talk about your future. Because that's what matters. Making sure that you're pointed in the right direction. You may be watching today. You say, Pastor Darrell, I don't know. There's just something stirring in me right now. I don't know what's happening, but while I've been watching, while I've been listening to the words, something has leapt in my heart. That's the Lord. He's just tapping you on the shoulder. He's filled up your house. And he's saying, I just want to be with you. We pray that to him, but he prays that to us as well. I want to be in your house. How do I get him in my house? You say yes to him. How do I get him to come to where I am? You say yes to Jesus. How do I say yes to Jesus? I'm glad you asked. I want to pray with you today. I want to lead you in that prayer that will begin that process in your life. You can borrow my words today or you can pray your words, but something like Jesus, I don't want to do this without you. I've felt those feelings of fear. I've been overwhelmed with the anxiety and the stress of all of this negative news. Today I need your good news. I need your healing. I need your presence. I need your grace. I need your spirit filling my life. Today I repent of my sin. I turn my back on everything that's not like you. Today I say yes to you, Jesus. I accept your grace, your goodness, and your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Can we give every person online in this room praying that prayer today, can we give them a hand? You can do it right there in your house. Hallelujah. Oh, oh. Woo. Listen, if you're watching today online and you just prayed that with me, I want you, don't worry about anybody else, just type the word follow in the comments. Our online hosts, they want to message you a virtual, an e-copy of this book called Following Jesus. It'll land in your inbox. You can read it at your leisure, but it's just a few pages, a fast read that will help you learn and understand your next steps. We cannot wait to meet you, whether that's next Sunday or the Sunday after or the Sunday after or in July, whenever it is, we cannot wait to meet you and see all that God is doing in your life. Amen. Anybody glad to be in church today?